right, let's see if this will let me off mute. Good morning, everybody. Letting people file in, getting the stage arranged, throw out some invites. But we're back, guys. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. And thank you for joining Bitcoin Veteran Spaces number 224. The clock keeps on ticking and the episodes keep rising. We talk about Bitcoin on this space, and that's it. Nothing else. No, yesterday we got to talk a little bit about leadership and courage with a guest. It was fun. And maybe planted a seed for orange pilling Dr. Chase Spears. He asked for more information via email yesterday, so hoping to continue that conversation with him. But yeah, thanks for joining, guys. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host this morning. I'm joined by our co-host, Texas Toast. And also, it looks like we have Shane up here. So thanks for joining us, sir. I know you've been busy, but let's look at the Bitcoin stats for the morning. It is Friday, July 18th, 2025. And we are at Bitcoin block height number 906,094, with the Bitcoin price sitting right around $118,800. Wow, that's a big number. Which means you can still purchase 842 sats for each US dollar. And yes, this is your daily reminder to go and buy some Bitcoin. All right. One announcement before we hop into the topics this morning. Next week, we're going to have Mining Goblin on the BV handle stepping in to host the show. And I'll try to join and get up on stage and help out and carry the discussion on. But it'll be good. You guys will get a new voice. Hope you're all looking forward to that. I sure am. Need a little bit of a break. And yeah, with that, wanted to say good morning first to Shane. You haven't been around for a while. How you doing this morning?
Good, Bob. Good to see you guys, man. It's been a long time. I've been out and about, family vacation, on the banks of Lake Michigan. And you know, I'd say it's great to be back, but I'll tell you, the water and the amazing sunsets and the family and everything else we get to see once a year up north is just unbeatable. So, well, great to be back, obviously, really, great vacation and just, you know, nothing's happening while I was gone. I couldn't believe I got into the truck and my oldest son, when we finally hit civilization again, where we had cellular service, was like, Dad, I think Bitcoin just hit 123,000 and I could not believe my ears. You know, it's always good to hear.
Yeah, good stuff. It's cool too when you've gotten your kids involved and they tell you more about the price than you know. So I have that happen too. Hey, Texas Toast, good morning, sir. How are you today?
Morning. Yeah, sorry I missed the end of the show. Jumped in yesterday and forgot I had a meeting and I was reminded. So good to be back. Hey, Shane. Sounds like you had a great time up there in the cabin in the woods. And yeah, it's good to be back. You shouldn't be surprised. He shouldn't be surprised. I don't know what you've been teaching this guy. It's going up forever. I wouldn't be surprised if it hit a million tomorrow.
Yes. I'm in that Max Payne crowd, Texas, you know, just crabbing sideways forever, you know. I think I've conditioned myself just to expect pain with Bitcoin and, you know, whenever you get a treat, it's one of those things where, I don't know, maybe I've got a different outlook.
Yeah, as exciting as it is to see the price go up, you know, I mention every morning the amount of sats you can buy for a dollar. I think a lot of us are still hoping for cheaper prices, but that's okay. It's a blessing and a curse. So this is the game and it's a lot of fun. Hey, BFP, thanks so much for joining us after me trolling you all week on your Matrix Birds. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Today I got construction birds, so hopefully they quiet down a little.
Nice. That is great. Yeah, so yes, I kind of want to talk about yesterday. I don't think I'm not sure all who's in the space from yesterday. A little bit different style of show, but I thought it was really good because it's good to hear outside perspectives, people who don't fully understand Bitcoin, and just see where they're coming from. And Dr. Chase Spears is definitely not a Bitcoiner yet, but very open-minded and not against it. And he stands for a lot of the same values as Bitcoin veterans. And so it was a treat to have him on and hear him chat about courage and standing up for family values and leadership and family and all of the same things that I think a lot of us in this space are going for in this life. And so if you didn't hear it, I'd encourage you to go back. We only had a couple of minutes at the end where I attempted to orange pill him a little bit. And if you guys didn't hear that, I did not. I actually started out with just this idea that you actually don't need to know anything about Bitcoin or not much about Bitcoin in order for it to be relevant. And really what you need to understand is the current state of things with the debt and what the outcomes of that are going to be, and then understanding that there's unlimited fiat or unlimited dollars, and there's a limited supply of Bitcoin, and that can't be changed. And I think it really piqued his interest, and so I wanted to keep it simple. I wanted to keep it very narrow in scope, and the main reason for that is because in my experience, you have to stay within people's understanding of basic concepts. And most people, I think, in the United States, whether they've studied or not, understand that we have an insurmountable amount of debt and that the government has just voted and put into law a change in the debt ceiling, which means that they can spend an additional $5 trillion. And they haven't done it yet, but they're authorized to do so. And the fact is that the GDP is not going to increase. The taxes are not going to be increased to the extent that they need to be to pay for that borrowing. And so the simple fact of the matter is that if you're saving in dollars, you are getting stolen from. It's a form of thievery or tax, depending on how you want to play it. And so that's really a simple thing that most people can understand. And then when they understand that there's this realization, the new concept is that Bitcoin is this finite asset, then and that's why so many people in this space are in here talking about it and on X and other places adopting this asset. And this is why Bitcoin's around $120,000. Then it's not a far leap for them to say, maybe I need to look into this more. And so what I wanted to kick the show off this morning was this topic of, do you think that this is an effective way to orange pill people, or are there other angles that you guys are coming at it when you're sharing what Bitcoin is and the concept of why Bitcoin has in the last 16 years gone from no price to taking a couple of years and running up and crashing down, running up, crashing down over these cycles. And here we are 16 plus years later at around 120,000. Just curious, the panel's thoughts, anybody want to chime in on the ways that you guys have found carrying on this conversation with folks?
I sent my friend who's like 20 years older than me. I'm 48. He's 68. He had a birthday. I sent him $50 for his birthday because no matter what I try, he just won't. He won't like try to understand Bitcoin. So that's a way I shot to. That was one of the ways I tried orange pilling him. We'll see if it works. He's got his first Bitcoin in a blue wallet, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like I'm, you know, you guys know me. I'm a little crazy, but at the you know, we look around and especially as a young man, I'm like, I see so many problems, especially in the military, coming out of the military, my experience in the military and just in the world in general. You know, and I'm looking for a solution. I'm looking for something. How can I kind of do the most good, and best utilize my time? And so to me, Bitcoin just kind of fell into place there as the thing that I can invest the most amount of my time and energy into that will allow me to do the most good in the future. Because at the root of a lot of these things, or at least touching a lot of these things, it might not be the root cause, but it touches everything. Money touches everything. And if you can fix that, I think you can fix many other problems. So this is why, like, I kind of have a, you know, there's a place in my heart for gold and gold bugs because they're kind of on the right track. Like they know the money's broken. They know the system is corrupt. And they want to store their time and energy into something that they believe, you know, is the best form of money. And historically is it that, but so I see all these guys trying to do good. And, you know, it seems like they can't quite break through and do more. And I think that's where it's like, if you plug Bitcoin into that, into any of these either charities or organizations or just thought processes and ideology, it's like what it kind of adds that exponential factor to it and kind of completes the picture. So I think it's great, especially with charities and churches and all these things to get these guys, you know, plugged into Bitcoin. And it's hard because they think to themselves that, you know, it's kind of a dirty thing to try to, like, you know, use nonprofit money for what would seem like an investment. I really think that's kind of the missing piece to give these things a lot more power and change the world a lot faster.
Yeah, welcome to the stage, Coleman and 23 Skidoo. Anybody else have thoughts on this?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the show. Hey, what's your handle, Bitcoin Veteran? What's your first name? I'm sorry if I heard it a million times.
Yeah, so there's Bitcoin. It's just at Bitcoin Veterans for the Bitcoin Veterans handle.
And yeah, then, isn't it in talking here?
Yep, and then mine's Bob Banker.
Okay, that's what I thought, Bob. All right. Yeah, I like to your point, Bob, about how you at least have started trying to orange pill people. I think that's, in theory, the best way, trying to talk about the debasement of the money and talk about the history of the money and the debt and how unsustainable it all is. But unfortunately, I don't think that a lot of people, I think people are just either wired. Most people are either wired to hear things that way, or, you know, the number go up is kind of the other side of it. I don't love the number go up piece of it because, it makes me worried. It's not that I think it's wrong or anything, but it does make me worried that if someone is only into it for number go up, the people I've seen get into it for number go up in my little world never learn about Bitcoin. They're just like, and they sometimes refer to it as the damn stock, and it just frankly pisses me off. But yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to say that I think in theory what you're saying for talking about the history of what's going on is the most solid ground to stand on.
Yeah, thanks for chiming in on that. Wanted to also welcome up AC and B Schlepp. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys. You know, just chiming in on this orange pilling deal here, just coming from a different angle, one of the avenues that I've taken, that seems to turn the light bulb on for some people is just speaking on the transformation from the analog world to the digital world. Just how we used to have DVDs, CDs, all that good stuff, and now we're in that digital space and our money's doing the same thing. So that's worked for me periodically to just get people to think a different way.
and just wanted to chime in there all day.
Yeah, I love those little nuggets. Thank you so much for that. Let's see.
I like that one.
Yeah, go ahead, BFP.
I like that one. I wanted to say, you know how I was saying earlier, I gave some money to my friend. I also, whenever I see children, like my nephews, I have triplet nephews, and I gave them all $50 for their birthday in Bitcoin. So I like to skip the older generations and use the younger generations, because they were like 11 or 12. Money doesn't even mean anything at that point, but it makes their brain kind of bifurcate and think of money in two different ways, the dollar and Bitcoin. And they'll, if they keep that Bitcoin, they'll forever see it go up as they age. And when they turn 18 and have a real job, they're going to think quite a bit more about money.
Yeah, good stuff. I will say I've gotten away from sending people sats. It's kind of like buying someone a beer almost. They appreciate it, but not really, and they'll forget about it. Now, maybe $50 is a significant amount. So I think there's different ways to do it. I'm not poo-pooing it. I think it can work in some instances, but I've gotten away from it because I found that a lot of people just get a new phone and then they're like, oh, no, I didn't write down 24 words. That's crazy. Who would do that? Like, I thought it would just transfer over, you know? iOS is so great.
But I like that because it gives them their first Bitcoin. Whether they act on it or not, it plants that mustard seed in their brain where, like, oh, I had this. I wonder how much it would be worth, you know? So either way, if they lose it or they save it, it's their first Bitcoin.
Yeah, my favorite thing to do is to, and I've done this on a couple occasions now, and some people take it and some people don't. I give for big occasions in life, for like weddings or, you know, major milestone birthdays or graduations, things like that. It's like, I'll go ahead and, you know, get them a cold card, stamp the seat out myself and say, or give them the option, say, hey, you know, I'm going to give you this amount of money. Do you want it in Bitcoin or do you want it? And I'll give you the cold storage setup and it'll be safe and you can hold on to it forever. Or you can take the cash. It's your choice. What do you need right now? And, for the ones that have taken the Bitcoin, usually they're men, but, the ones that have taken Bitcoin, that orange pilled them. I mean, and then and I always keep a watch only wallet on it, and none of them have ever moved it. So they've continued to watch it go up. And now whenever I see them, you know, 5 years later, they say, hey, we still buying. That's pretty much the only thing they asked me about Bitcoin. So I know that in the background, they're looking at it. They're researching it. They're probably buying more themselves. And it's just kind of a good way it's a good way to give them some sats without, you know, sending it to them on like a Cash App or something like that. That's so easily liquid that, you know, there's no effort to just cash it out real quick on a whim, but something like a cold storage, cold card, it's like, they're going to have to go through some steps to turn that into US dollars. So I found that to be a pretty useful thing. It takes a lot more effort on my end. It's annoying as hell to stamp out all these damn seed plates, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I wanted to welcome the real Bitcoin Jesus. Now we have Bitcoin Jesus and the real Bitcoin Jesus on the stage. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, family. How's everyone doing today?
Outstanding. Thank you.
Fantastic, man. I love every single one of y'all up here, man. It's good to hear y'all every day. I'm with Bitcoin Trading Cards. Most of y'all may know that. And we're just talking about orange pilling and giving the youngins and everyone $10, $50, whatever it is. And I've honestly come to find out and realize that these cards are a phenomenal way to orange pill the youth. It's fun, it's art, and it's education. It catches their attention. And we all know these young kids have a short attention span. So unless we get something to really, you know, draw them in and keep them. I've given Bitcoin to people, and people have bought the Bitcoin on Cash App. And once it goes up 50%, they sell it half the time, you know, because they don't fully understand it. You know, we're not there with them, giving them the information continuously for them to grasp it. So, but these packs of cards, they have it in the drawer, they have it on their desk, and there's tons of information from hardware wallets to codes, whatever it may be, it's on these cards. And hands down, from conferences to card shows to even my daily life, like I go to Publix and I give people packs of cards and it gets them. It draws in their attention. And I've gotten more responses. Like they message me back on not even just Twitter, but anywhere. I give them my number and they have immediately more questions like, how can I find out more? Can I get more packs? And can you know, they're interested. And it's a lot better than just us talking for 30 minutes trying to orange pill someone, because half the time they're not really that interested in what we have to say, you know? So I just wanted to throw out my two cents and really just give a shout out to Bitcoin Trading Cards that they are truly orange pilling the youth and bridging the gap from normie land to the orange pill world. So that's all. Thank you guys for the time. Appreciate y'all always.
Yeah, I like tools like that. It's, again, like there is no silver bullet, right? And so that's why I like having these discussions, because you have people who are coming up with creative ideas and targeting certain audiences. And I think we can all step outside of the way we think about things and maybe try different tactics or tools. And so, yeah, thanks for sharing that. AC, I see your hand, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I love this topic, and I kind of spammed the comments in the pill a little bit, just with things to jog people's, you know, kind of thought process a little bit. I think ultimately the challenge with orange pilling is if you don't know the person, it's going to be an uphill battle. And really it starts with getting to know that individual, what their pain points are, what their challenges are, what's top of mind for them. And so really, you know, if you check the spam comments that I kind of threw in there, you can look at it from, and I forget who'd mentioned it, from like a technology replacement from physical to digital or analog to digital. There's a good graphic there for folks to kind of utilize in orange pilling. We're talking about, you know, the evolution of money, the properties and the functions of money, or I think there was one more related to the devaluation of the dollar and your purchasing power. And so really, you know, multiple avenues for people to consider and think about, but really it's based on the individual and, you know, what their pain points are and meeting them where they are. And then hopefully the message that you're sending them, you know, resonates and it's something that they think about. So my two cents. Thanks guys. Always great to be on stage with you guys and talk about Bitcoin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for coming up. Really appreciate it. Shane, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I guess, kind of anecdotal. You know, these get togethers with family over the years is one of those things where I think, you know, this trust is kind of somewhat built into a certain degree. And, you know, to kind of give you guys an idea, I think, you know, when we are longtime Bitcoiners, we start to see this, you know, more and more in our lives where, you know, somebody who's new to Bitcoin, who's excited about Bitcoin and the rabbit holes that they've found and the community that they've found, you know, is maybe not the quote unquote, the best salesman. When you show up and you give information that's asked for and then kind of leave it alone, you plant those seeds. We talk about, you know, long time horizons and delayed gratification and all those kind of things in Bitcoin. And I don't think we're really good at, you know, swallowing this medicine ourselves when it comes to orange pilling people. Orange pilling people can take years, especially people who have a massive amount of wealth. So older people. And I know, you know, the older crowd is, you know, not as fertile. And it's for a reason. It's because they're used to a system. You know, they've gotten this far in life, whether they're, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, they've gotten so far in life in a fiat system and they don't know anything else and they're comfortable. And when you have these conversations, kind of like I've had with my wife's uncle over the past, you know, 5, 6 years now, you know, time goes and they ask you, hey, what are you doing? What are you into? And all these kind of things as you know, kind of make these yearly checkups. And over the course of, I don't know, 5 years now, her uncle, who is also a colonel out of the Army Corps of Engineers, has come to really, you know, trust and pick my brain. And this time around, we actually broke out a computer and got to explain, you know, what, you know, Bitfeed Live and the mempool show. And, you know, finally the light bulb went on, to the point where he was like, all right, well, you know, if I wanted to invest in Bitcoin and move my money, how would I do this kind of stuff? And so now I think we've got to be much better at, you know, planting the seed and kind of leaving it alone and maybe, you know, sending out that information. You know, if they want the information, great. If they're not going to do the work, then you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting, you know, your most precious asset. And that's one of those things that also keeps those relationships very healthy, right? It's like over the course of time, you know, as some of my cousins have come into it who are now in their 40s and 50s, you know, a little bit faster than her uncle. It's like, man, I wish I would have bought earlier, right? It's always those conversations. Once the light bulb goes on somebody orange pilled, and it's, you know, I think that coming around after, you know, possibly years and years is much sweeter than it is if if everybody just took everybody's word for it. Because at some point, you know, they do invest that time, they do invest the effort, and they do understand, and they are, you know, they're kicking themselves because they didn't trust you more. And honestly, your stock with that relationship continues to rise. And I think, you know, in this world where a lot of people are consumed with the, you know, the fiat incentive structure of, you know, money now and, you know, boats and hoes and all that other bullshit, the slow burn that gets to, you know, family and, you know, building this trust and this relationship and looking out for not only them, but their legacy in this world. I think that piece where you're culminating, you know, their life in terms of, you know, what they've worked for and their wealth and, you know, those binding family relationships, that's the real payoff at the end of the day. It's not so much about orange pilling. It's great and it's a great side effect, but the real side effect is building your family and building your community and those people that are now starting to understand and trust in the incentive structure that goes along with it, that this is a different type of humanity. Really, it's a different type of society, and this society is building something extremely rare, you know, something, you know, long lost and rare, maybe we've never even seen before. And that's going to be, I think, the prize at the, you know, quote unquote end of the rainbow.
Yeah, really great comments. Made me think a lot about a lot of things, but I wanted to go to 23 Skidoo first. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Bob. A couple things. Yeah, those are some great points to listen to there. Yeah, it seems like ironically, at least in some circles I run in, some pretty people, I'm 57, but I'm still hanging out with people here who are kind of like homesteaders, Northern New Mexico. And they're young, you know, they're 30 to 35 or something. It almost seems like they're so suspicious of the mainstream financial system, mainstream media, mainstream food, all of like everything, like their head's in the right place, but they actually seem to, because they're so ignorant of Bitcoin, they seem to not trust Bitcoin because they hear it on the mainstream media. They hear it on the news and they just think it's all financial games, oddly, but they're an odd bunch. They're not a major cross section, but that's one funny thing. Another thing I want to throw out was a little shout out to someone new I discovered on YouTube only about 2 weeks ago under the moniker Bitcoin Lens. No affiliation for me. I'm just, you know, they're little animated videos with audio. And really, really good information. Maybe sometimes he goes on too long, but I highly recommend people checking out Bitcoin Lens. And then the next thing was a question wondering where, if anybody here is getting a non-KYC Bitcoin. I had used HODL a little bit, but it appears they're not functioning in the U.S. right now. So wondering what people are doing in that way. Thanks.
Meetups, best bet.
Yeah, I can't find enough people to meet up with in this little small remote area.
Yeah, it is difficult when you're in that kind of geographical area. But, you know, Shane was talking about the long game with people. And so maybe you should start a meetup, and it's going to take some time. But
yep. Yep.
I've also heard
it's too long.
Bisc and what's the other one? Robosats are the two. I've never used those though.
Bisc and I've heard of Bisc.
Yeah. Well, and if you're in a remote location with access to cheap energy, and you've got a place you can plop down some cheap solar panels, it's like mining is going to be a really good way to consistently get some some KYC free Bitcoin. It'll take an initial investment. But if you're kind of in it for the long haul and you see the, you know, KYC free is valuable, that's definitely a route you can go.
Hmm. Yeah. So not to shift it, but I will go back to, some of the things Shane made me think of, which is that this is like planting seeds, right? And watching them grow. And so, Bitcoin doesn't have to be relational, but I think those of us that have been in it for a while and have spoken these ideas to people, the more you kind of put your foot on the pedal to make a point with people who are uninitiated to Bitcoin or who don't understand it, early on, the less likely they are to listen to you over the long term. Whereas if you plant these little seeds and wait for them to grow and just be consistent and not sound like a conspiracy theorist or someone who's, you know, off the rocker, and you stay within the realm of their, their comprehension about the world, their window, then I think that it does pay off. Some people are going to take to it faster than others, but I do think you kind of poison the well by really pushing too many new ideas on people all at once. And so, yeah, that's kind of what Shane made me think of. Anybody else want to chime in on this topic? And guys, if you're in the audience, please do share the space. If you want to come up, we're happy to have you. Always glad to have new voices. So hit that microphone button. And if you can't talk, but you have a question for the panel, just leave a comment in that little purple pill in the bottom right. We know AC knows how to do that because he did spam the comment section, but we appreciate him. Always good stuff from AC. I would encourage you to check out what he posted. But anybody else with other ideas on this topic? Crickets. All right. Well, shall we move on? All right. Let's do it. So some other things that I kind of wanted to see if Shane wanted to touch on, which we talked about briefly yesterday with Dr. Chase Spears. I just mentioned this new startup called Glock that's helping people potentially send out distress signals from an app if they are facing some type of physical threat. And also, sounds like Glock is going to start training people on counter kidnapping measures. And so I'm not sure if you saw that, Shane, or heard about Glock, but that is from the co-founder of Trezor Wallet. And wanted to, yeah, just maybe get an update from you if any of that stuff's moving forward on your guys' end, or if there's other thoughts about this, because we do go over a lot of these kidnapping attempts, especially in France and, you know, other places. And so just wanted to bring up this tool for helping people against physical threats.
Yeah, I love this topic. And I think, you know, what Glock is doing, I will say I haven't gone too far down the rabbit hole with who these guys are. I'm not, you know, I don't know any of them by name, and I don't think I've ever met them in person. So I will, you know, parse my words and say, listen, anybody you're getting in bed with for security, you know, really do a deep dive into who they are, how they're funded, and, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. With that said, I will say this is an emerging market, and it's only going to increase as the price of, you know, Bitcoin increases. There's so much out there right now. You know, and thinking through this, I don't want to tip my hand too much, but there is so much out there that Bitcoiners can do in terms of not only securing your person and the people you love the most, but also your privacy, and doing it in a form factor that respects those things, that is going to be highly, highly dependent on technology. When you've got things like drones and possibly droids here in the very near future, you're building communities out, within your local area. This isn't, science fiction anymore. This is just how fast can we, start putting technology into the mix, in a way that, does not, I guess, sequester the attention or an illicit response from, government entities, whether it's the sheriff or police or feds or anybody like that. Is, if you can launch drones or droids, or you can have, quick reaction forces that can move to an area and at least get, at a minimum eyes on. I think this is all, just the very beginning of a new decentralized, private way that we're going to see security built out. And that's going to, really beg the question is what are we doing with our money in terms of taxes that are going towards things like, sheriff's deputies and these giant budgets for, the local communities where we see more or less, and I don't want to shit on every, sheriff, deputy or police officer out there. I think a lot of them have their heart in a good place. The problem is, they're indoctrinated by a system, much like, many of us were in the military, and they carry out orders and they carry out quotas and they do things that, I think the broader community at large would like to see, not done anymore. And so I think this is just that door that's opening, and a security function within our societies that's evolving now. If they're going to, put these, secret, I'd say secret, these teams together, locally, I think this is the natural way. This is what we've been doing with Bitcoin veterans in terms of citadels. It's what we've been doing with disaster relief. It's all these emergency type responses that we are starting to see private sector, solutions come to the forefront, because what we've been, what we've been fed and what we've, been robbed of hasn't worked. It's just, it's fallen flat on its face. The response times are too long. If there is a response, and, the regular average citizen or Bitcoiner in this case is taking matters into their own hands and saying, we can do this better. We can do it without force and coercion. And whenever you can do, couple those two things through technology, I think this is just the beginning of something that's absolutely going to change the face of security. And Bitcoiners are, they're going to be at the forefront of this, as they are in many other, aspects and markets, going forward.
Yeah. Anybody else with thoughts on this? Are you guys taking steps, or have you already, thought this through, about training yourself? Was it the space yesterday? I think it was, Dr. Chase Spears yesterday saying, I don't know. I listen to too much stuff while I'm working, but I think that, it's like when something happens, you should be prepared for it, right? You shouldn't be, all of a sudden like, oh, hey, I've kind of thought about that, and then, acting based on, fear. Instead, you should be, this should be practiced, right? You should be prepared to the extent that it's almost, a habit, or you're just completely ready for it. And so I don't know. I wanted to see if anybody else had a better way of saying that, or what your thoughts are on that. All right, we'll move on to other topics. You guys don't care about protecting yourselves, so I know where to send my goons. All right, cool. Let's see, next topic. It sounds like Block Earner, a company out of Australia, has launched Bitcoin-backed home loans. Do you guys think this is coming to the U.S.? Do you think people will use this service in Australia? I do know that the prices are quite high just about everywhere. And, you know, we've kicked around different lending things, but yeah, wanted to get anybody's reaction to this. Is this the start of something, guys?
Man, I guess I'll chime in here. I think this is the start. We've seen a few of the other guys like, what is it, CK down there in Florida that are doing this. I would really caution people though. You know, this is the beginning and, you know, obviously there is going to be a market out there for people who may be a little more unsuspecting that are looking at, their Bitcoin as, you know, collateral instead of the most, you know, scarce asset on the planet. And from what I've seen, you know, I'm not a big fan of this yet. There's, it's not priced right in terms of the amount of capital and, you know, you can get for a loan. And what often happens is you're sacrificing, your exposure to Bitcoin to somebody who you don't really know, first and foremost. And when you do that, a lot of times you're asking sometimes for almost double the amount of Bitcoin in terms of, the price. And that's very problematic to me is, you know, if you're a Bitcoiner and you believe in your product and you believe in Bitcoin, then, you know, at the end of the day, if you're taking out, let's just say a 30-year loan, well, we all know where Bitcoin's going to be in 30 years. It's going to be much, much higher than it is here in terms of, you know, purchasing power. So the idea that these guys want, you know, double the amount of the actual price point, that just rubs me the wrong way a lot of times. It's, you know, in any case, if I was, you know, an honest dealer, what I'd be asking for is probably a fraction of that, or at least, you know, only 100%. But, you know, if I really believe in 30 years that this is going to be it, well, you're either holding their Bitcoin and know that it's going to be, you know, a long-term success. And if you're not doing that, then, you know, it looks like kind of predatory behavior to me.
Yeah, and I agree. Until it's one-to-one and less than the, you know, the going market rate for like a normal mortgage, they're not treating it like, you know, like the most pristine collateral or pristine asset in human history. So until then, I think they're kind of taking advantage of people that, that really need some liquidity that, are willing to use these kind of products. So it's, you know, it might work out for you, but it might not. And it's kind of one of those things where is the risk worth it? So you just kind of got to do your own calculation. But in my opinion, until it's one-to-one and I'm getting a better rate for providing them a better collateral, I don't think it's worth it.
I'll provide a little bit of a counterpoint. I do agree with you guys. I do think it's early. And so it is something where you need to assess the risk. But if you think about it, most mortgages are, you know, at least in history, we have seen where the bank is going to give you a loan and they're going to want 20% down. Now, I know there's other programs to supplement that and bring that percentage down. But really, in the end, one-to-one, even on real estate, which is, as we all know, usually kind of a laggard in terms of growth. Now there's been periods when real estate's really gone up in price as we've seen recently, but, you know, it's prone to, fits and starts just like anything. But I will say, like, I don't know that I could see a one-to-one, ever, just because in any market, there's a little bit of volatility, at least. And as we've seen, over Bitcoin's history, there's certainly been very large drawdowns. And as a financial institution, you can't have your collateral, you know, going down by 60 to 80%. Now, will we see that in the future? I don't know, but I just wanted to provide that little bit of context, even though I do agree with you guys that it is pristine collateral and over the long run, you know, it certainly will go up in value. Simply because there, as BFP always reminds me, there is no top on Bitcoin because you know, there's however you say it, BFP, that there's no top on the amount of money that they're printing. So,
well, Bob, I think the thought process is, you know, it's collateralized in more ways than one. You have the Bitcoin as collateral, but then you also have the real estate. So it's like, even if it goes below one, you know, it's fine. I'd say you get like margin called maybe when it, gets to 50% or something like that. And then the bank is still gonna make out great, in that scenario. So I don't see any reason for that. And especially if you can make the payment, it's like, who cares? As long as the payment continues to be made, there's no really reason to foreclose on the mortgage.
Yeah, I think there's certainly an equation. And as time goes on and Bitcoin is more adopted and blessed and people understand that it is permanent capital, I think that equation will get far more favorable. So I think we're all on the same page. And I agree, it's not like a all or nothing, just like most everything. So Yomar, did want to say good morning to you. Welcome to the stage. It's been a minute, but yeah, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm in my car right now. I've been absent because I'm finishing my basement, so I've been painting in the morning to try to listen in while I can, but trying to sneak in at work so I can. Once that's done, once the painting is done, I should be pretty much wrapped up. I can't be here more often. But spaces have been great. Glad to be back up here. Looping back to what you guys were talking about earlier with like the orange line, I definitely think inflation is like the universal language that people painfully understand now. So that's always my approach to orange billions. You know, getting the foot in the door is something everybody feels and knows, and then, you know, you can judge how they're reacting to that, and then, you know, start walking towards Bitcoin from there. That's my approach to it. And nobody cared about the security stuff, so I'm not going to get into that one. But, you know, Glock in the hand is better than a police force on the phone.
Yeah, no, good comments. Thanks for coming back up here. Appreciate you joining from the car. And yeah, hopefully your basement's coming along well. I do think that you can, besides you know, personal security. I know that was a dead topic, but it did get me thinking too when Shane was talking. You know, how many of us actually reach out to our local law enforcement and make friends. And I don't know if it's exactly that, but if you meet somebody in your local community who works for the local police department, maybe ask them, you know, is there ways I can get involved? Can I do a ride along? Make friends, because I do think that could be helpful. I wouldn't say that's maybe the main method that you should use for your personal security, but I've seen that work in the past where, you know, a few drive-bys because they are paying attention to you a little bit more because you're a friend may deter people from, you know, attacking you. So anyway, that's just another thing there. But I guess guys, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I know that was a dead topic. So let's go to this maybe finish up here with this crypto week that we've seen and kind of been checking in on throughout the week. And it seems as though the Genius, Clarity, and CBDC acts, or anti-CBDC acts, have all passed in the U.S. House. The one that I found the most interesting, I don't know if you guys saw the vote totals on each of these, but it seemed as though the anti-CBDC act was the closest, meaning there was a lot of people who voted against it. And so I don't know if you guys saw why, or if these guys just want us to live underneath this tyrannical rule, but I think there was only maybe like an 8-vote spread, if I saw that correctly. So feel free, you guys, to chime in on that in particular, or anything else that you guys have been thinking about or hearing regarding these bills that have passed the House and now I think all have to go back to the Senate now because they've been changed. So I'll open it up.
I saw them come through, and I saw like some of the criticisms for like Genius Act was saying that like that there is, it kind of leaves the door open, or it leaves like a framework for CBDCs. I don't know how true that is, and I don't know if like the anti-CBDC thing that came after the fact is like meant to like overrule whatever's in there. Do you like, is there like a high level overview for each of the bills that got through? Because the Clarity Act, I haven't even heard of before until it got passed. So that one went.
Yeah, I've just seen some wave tops as well, but from my understanding, some of the opposition was because it didn't do enough. You're right. And kind of what it came down to at the end was, I think the Clarity or any CBDC, whichever one of those, it did lay out, it said, it didn't outright ban it, a CBDC, but it said that any future CBDC things will have to be approved by Congress. So they can't do it unless Congress approves it, but they didn't say no, something like that. So, I think in general, it was just a big talking point for, some of these Republicans in their district to say, oh, you know, I'm on my high horse and I want to ban it. And they look good for their constituents. I think that's kind of what was going on, but, we'll have to wait and see. I don't know I haven't taken a deep dive into any of this stuff. I'm sure there's some nefarious conspiracy theories we can get into.
Yeah, I'll start.
That's a pretty empty promise.
No, go ahead, Yoan.
That's a pretty empty promise, if you ask me, because, you know, we also need congressional approval to go to war, and, you know, we need congressional approval for a myriad of things that, you know, saying, like, hey, you can't have a CBDC unless Congress approves. Like, that's just one omnibus bill, like, government shutdown bill away from getting passed. So that's a big nothing burger, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I do think the Genius Act, which is focused really on the stablecoins, is really your CBDC. It's just a privatized version. You could look at, you know, the banking sector since we've had the... since we've had 9/11 and the bills that have come after that and the Bank Secrecy Act and a lot of these things that they put into place, essentially are surveillance tools, by proxy for the government and probably other intelligence agencies throughout the world. So I do think that this makes it far easier actually, as the technology's developed to, really have this system where your information is married with every transaction and it actually can be monitored even better than our segregated system that we have right now, where each bank is responsible for sending information that they deem necessary because of suspicious activity reports and things like that. I don't know. I think it's, I don't think that's conspiratorial. I think it's just the world we live in until they would repeal something like the Bank Secrecy Act. I think this is the private version of a CBDC. So I'm leery for sure. And I don't see myself participating in the stablecoin ecosystem if I can help it. So that's a personal thing. But yeah, would love to hear other people's thoughts.
I think it's
I tend to agree. I mean, sorry.
Oh, you can go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with Bob and say, if you think that, you know, any of these companies, Circle or any of these American, even Tether, you know, operating in El Salvador, kind of being somewhat allowed to play ball. If I think you're naive, if you think that, any of that transaction history is going to be private. If they want to look at it, I think they're going to have an open door to be able to. So just know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to stably, you know, in a stable way, debase your money or your subjective value or your, you know, hard fought, money that you've earned in a 2 to 4%, maybe even up to 10% a year. So if you want to stably debase your money, buy the stable coins.
Yep. Bitcoin is for saving. Stable coins are for spending. Maybe if you want to do it that way. Yeah. Other thoughts on, this, any of these acts, genius, clarity, things that are going through your mind? Anybody? I don't want to get out the crickets again. It's getting late in the show.
I had.
It's going up forever, Bob. Yes. We got government clarity. It's all good. The banks are buying, the companies are buying, everyone's buying. It's going to be great. Donald Trump is buying. World Liberty Financial is buying and printing and buying and printing. Howard Lutnick and his son, his wonderful son, neighbor of Jeffrey Epstein, they're buying, they're printing. Life is good.
I was going to say, I thought the Genius Act passed both things of Congress, and the other two needed to go through the Senate. But I could be wrong. I just thought I saw that on one of these social medias. I think it was X, Zitter, whatever you want to call it.
I tend to run these bills through AI once they're passed. Let the politicians argue about it. And give me the good points through AI so I don't have to read thousands of pages of garbage. But it's always hard, right? Because if one passes it, like there's all these like procedural rules. So it's like first one side passes it and then they pass it on to the other house or the house, and then the house takes it through committee. And if it passes through committee, then it goes to the floor and then they have to change it. And if they change it, then it goes back to the Senate. And anyway, all that's just procedural garbage. And I don't really care until it's actually signed by the president. It doesn't matter. I don't know, to be honest. I haven't paid that close of attention. We've had a full week here on this show and really appreciate all you guys for listening and coming up. I want to go around the horn and see if people have some last comments here. We're at the top of the hour. Otherwise, we can close up the show for the week, and we'll do it all again Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern. And we'll have Mining Goblin as our special host. Hopefully you guys can join us to discuss some of those topics next week. And wanted to go around the horn. So let's start with Shane. Did you have anything to close out the show with, sir?
I'll do my usual spiel. Bitcoinveterans.org, we founded this for veterans, but it's open to civilians. We did this because this is a great landing point for people to figure out Bitcoin. If you need help, we have chat groups all over the place. Bitcoinveterans.org will get you plugged into those chat groups on Signal. There is everything there from learning Bitcoin to homesteading to homeschooling to intelligence, you name it. And if it's not there, we can make it and you can form your own group within Bitcoin Veterans. There is a mountain of us out there, and we're all, you know, trying to figure life out as we go. And this group is, I think, you know, surprised me to the point of, you know, the passion and the mission that they've given to so many others that are out there now, the impact that they've had, not only in their local communities, but, the world at large. It is just an incredible group, and we need more people. This is about growing a parallel economy, and debasing the war machine and the state to the point where, you know, there is a giant power shift into good people's hands. So I think veterans are, you know, at the forefront of leading this, and Bitcoin Veterans is, you know, that place where we can put it all together and make it happen. So if you are interested in doing that and becoming part of this community, we'd love to have you. Bitcoinveterans.org. Bob, Texas Toast, thanks for hosting this as usual. Good to see everybody else up here. And thanks for everybody who's contributing out there, who's listening, and everybody who's trying to orange pill in their own little ways. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Thanks, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for that. Texas Toast, anything from you, sir?
Enjoy your weekend. Have a wonderful time. Don't drink and boat too much. Be responsible. You know, keep your head on a swivel. Come back. I'll see you on Monday.
Thank you, sir. Yomar from the vehicle. Nope. Yomar, we lost Yomar. How about the real Bitcoin Jesus?
Yes, sir. Just want to double up on what Shane and everybody else has been saying about Bitcoin Veterans Group. It's really phenomenal. Just want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. The camaraderie, the knowledge, the love, everything that you guys share. It's just, it's unmatched. So just thank you, honestly, and keep doing what you guys are doing. We can only do so much, and I can see the progress now that society is slowly waking up, and it's all thanks to Bitcoiners like y'all. So, yeah, happy to be on board as a veteran myself and a Bitcoiner. So y'all stay blessed and have a great weekend. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. And lastly, 23 Skidoo.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for doing the show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. You're all an inspiration. I probably won't be here next week. I'm going to be bicycle camping southern Colorado, New Mexico for 4 or 5 days, like 350 miles out in the boonies alone. So I won't be here, but I'll be enjoying that. But otherwise, yeah, stay strong, stay clear, be a good person, and do good things, everybody. Much love.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And guys, follow these guys that have come up here. Wanted to thank Bishlep. I don't think you've been up here before. Appreciate you sticking your neck out there and coming up to speak. I know a lot of you guys in the audience who listen every day have probably brilliant things to say, and we'd love to hear from you. So if you guys want to come up, we always try to treat our guests nice, and it's amazing what we can learn from each other. And that's why we do these spaces. Shane, thanks so much for summing up Bitcoin Veterans and the mission. But yeah, guys, get to bitcoinveterans.org, plug your information in, and we will plug you into helpful resources to help you on your Bitcoin journey. That's all we have for today. Want to wish everybody an awesome Friday. And remember, whatever you do, do not shitcoin. It's like pouring diesel in an unleaded tank.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them poor. We call them poor.